Palm Sunday is a challenging service. It is kind of a bipolar service. I mean, really, let's be honest. We started outside waving around palm fronds and proclaiming Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We walk down the hallway waving palm fronds and proclaiming triumphant psalms. We enter the gates in triumph, and we come and we worship, and then the service switches completely to days later in the chronology when Jesus is betrayed, when those he loved abandon him, when the justice of the world completely turned on him. And we hear about his passion. We hear about his suffering. And so we start outside in triumph. And we end up here in bitterness and suffering and agony. And these things don't really seem to go together. But yet they do. They really do. And while there's... The biggest challenge of Palm Sunday isn't what am I going to preach on today? It's what am I not going to preach on? What will I leave out? Because there's like a chapter and a half of Matthew that we just read up here. Any one of those verses we could preach a full sermon on. And so we're guided by the liturgy that takes these two different events and puts them together and says, why in the world would we celebrate these two things on the same day? Well, the fact is that these things happen in our hearts. These things exist in us all the time. Because as the children of Israel were gathering on the streets, and Jesus was walking in. He wasn't walking, he was riding on a donkey. He was fulfilling prophecy. The prophecies about the Messiah from Zechariah had said that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem not on a stallion, on a war horse, as some conquering king, but he would come on the back of a donkey, an instrument of peace. An instrument of harvest, an instrument that was so different than the conquering hero that everyone was expecting. Zechariah also prophesied that when the Messiah come, he would come from Bethany, and he would stand on the Mount of Olives. And as Jesus enters, he comes from Bethany across the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. The people see this as a fulfillment of Scripture. And they proclaim him, the fulfillment of Scripture. They say, Hosanna, God, save us. Deliver us now, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They bless him. They acclaim him king. They shout, Hallelujah. Yay, it's finally here. They lay down their garments that he can enter into the city cleanly as a king. They roll out the red carpet, and the red carpet is their own garments. It's not like they could just run to the laundromat and get everything cleaned. They were ruining their clothes for him. He goes into the temple, turns over the tables of the money changers, cast out those making a profit on the people, those who are exploiting the people, and the sick, the lame, the blind come into the temple and he heals them. And we think about this, of course he did. He did that everywhere. If he goes here, he heals people. He goes there, he gives sight to the blind. This is just what Jesus did. Except it was against the rules for those who were not physically right to come into the courts of the temple. There were purity laws that said if you were lame or blind or unhealthy, you couldn't come into the temple. So when these people came into the temple and Jesus healed them, he was breaking their rules. And the children were acclaiming him. He said, haven't you heard, out of the mouths of babes shall I perfect perfect praise? And everyone was on cloud nine. They were thrilled, except for the temple police. They were not happy. And then he leaves. And days later, the multitude comes out to apprehend him. And that next day, we have an opportunity to save him. Pilate has a tradition. I release somebody for you on the Passover. My way of keeping things calm. Look, okay, we've got all these prisoners. Do you want this guy who clearly has done nothing wrong, or this guy who's a murderer and a thief? And the crowds, the multitudes say, give us Barabbas. I want you to realize, these are the same crowds, the same multitudes that beforehand had been acclaiming him king and saying he was the Messiah and putting themselves out there on his behalf. The same group had turned, and now they were shouting, crucify him, kill him in the worst way imaginable. So what does this have to do with us? Well, this is us. This is our story. We're that crowd, and we in one moment say, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. We love you so much. You're the king of my heart. How could I ever exist without you? And we acclaim him, and we proclaim him, and we bless him. And then we say amen, and we don't act like we've just said. We go out, and we're miserable. We're rotten. We're mean to other people. We're stingy. We say one thing when we're in prayer, when we're in church, when we're with our Christian friends, and when we get out, we sin. This is who we are. And it's not like Jesus doesn't know it. But thanks be to God, Paul tells us, this is how God shows his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. While we were in the crowd, calling out, crucify him, execute him, when we mocked him and beat him and made fun of him and laughed at him as he died, he sent his son to die for us. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We may not be murderers and thieves. We may not clamor out for someone's execution. But we sin. And as we sin, we cry out, crucify him. Every time we sin, we call out, crucify him. And we know better. So what? Is this just the way things is? Just, it is what it is. No. Because the story doesn't end with his death. His death was the victory. Resurrection was the proof of the triumph and the overcoming. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit so that we might get better. We don't have to just sit there and puzzle out how to overcome our sins, our addictions, our nastiness. We don't. Because he's given us his Spirit. It's not me, but Christ who lives within me, the hope of the resurrection. I don't have to overcome things on my own. Thanks be to God, because I'm not very good at it. But I have Christ, who gives me strength, who gives me wisdom, who gives me himself as an example, that I might try and model my life after him, that I might try and be compassionate and merciful. And as we think about this week, we should see ourselves in the crowds. We should see ourselves in the apostles who just completely ran off. And we should struggle to live our lives better. We should seek his grace that we might overcome, that we might be a better example, that we might be a better light to the world, so that when they see us, they see us growing in the love of God, growing in resisting sin, overcoming. But we also need to look at the multitudes around us and have mercy on them. This week is all about mercy. It's about showing the love of God. And we look around at the crowds, and sometimes we don't like them very much. Sometimes we think, I don't want to have anything to do with these people. They're horrible. They're a bunch of pagans. They're heathens. I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to be merciful to them. And whatever it is that they've done to you, I guarantee you they didn't call out for your execution. I guarantee they haven't whipped you and beaten you and pierced your side and nailed you to a cross. He is so much more graceful, so much more merciful than we are. But his example calls us to that. And this week, as we get so close to the resurrection, we have to remember what Paul says to Timothy. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. While we were yet faithless, he remains faithful. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. He remains with us. Even when we stumble, even when we sin, even when we fall, he's there. He's there as Simon the Cyrene to help us carry our cross. He's there to bear our burdens. And as such, even with the people whom we can't stand, who rail against us, who cause trouble for us at work, and say mean things about us at school, for all of those people, God sent his son to die. And he calls us to die to ourselves, that we might show that same kind of mercy that he did. And that showing his love, we can help win the world to his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.